The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
In true Chewy fashion, right before we turn on our microphones, because when it comes to working out, how long can I wear these shorts before I have to wash them?
What, do you smell something?
Do I smell something? What, am I heart is smelling? Of course I smell something.
What is it?
Wear it once, wear it twice, one of three times. And when, what prompted the question to myself?
You start to smell them a little bit?
Not smell, they're a little dirty.
What do you mean by dirty?
It's B.O. The valet must have had B.O.
Can't be. Nobody has B.O. like this.
Jerry, it's B.O.
But the whole car smells.
Like some sweat stains or other types of stains.
I don't know what that is.
Because the other type of stains, probably, you know, throw them in there.
Well, that's only with the whites. The whites are definitely too. And you have to look at the backside to be like, all right, yeah.
So when somebody has B.O., the O usually stays with the B. Once the B leaves, the O goes with it.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna.
No Todd Rundgren? We don't do Victory Monday off the preseason?
Do I have to take the blame for this one?
I mean, you could still save it.
All right, I'll take the blame. That's fine. My bad.
I'd rather take the blame.
Ashton Rotman, our cousin. I think that's the way it works. You're going to be our cousin sub of the day. Josh DiMaggio sliding over to the big studio. Ashton Rotman running things, and Josh is just all sorts of, he's just out of sorts.
Have you ever used a, work. I mean, can't hear me right now, but has he ever used a radio studio? Oh, I wasn't.
I could hear
bad.
You.
You can't hear anything.
Couldn't find headsets.
I mean, we got some cheap pieces of garbage going on here.
Jeez.
I was getting cut off audio. I didn't hear the beautiful open there.
You can't say that.
I said cheap pieces of garbage.
He slides over to the big studio one
he turned
time.
Into Chewy.
One
he's,
time.
He's, wearing, he's in Chewy's chair. He's just letting it fly.
One time. He's just over here, and he's just becomes Diva Central.
I didn't know that we use cheap products here. It was hard to hear. You're
you don't
cutting
have
in
to
and
double
out.
Down, you dumbass.
I expected better from us in here. I don't know why.
You've been here long
Ashton,
enough. That's on you.
That's on you, actually, Ashton, as the executive producer. We need tip-top working things while I'm trying to conduct business.
Listen, I offered my suggestions for when we're getting headphones. That's the last I'll say about that.
So let's go to the top. Craig Skelzel.
Any other grievances you boys want to air? Ashton is just allowed to come
back. Yeah,
this
chair's a little too high up for me. There we go. Much better. Other than that,
I mean,
good.
It just starts with Josh complaining, then Ashton decides to jump in. Just, I mean, any grievances? Go ahead. Air the grievances before we get to the Packers defeating the Cleveland Browns on a preseason victory.
My sunburn's starting to peel a little bit from the boat day. So that's other than that, though, I'm great.
This microphone arm could use some work. I don't really, you know, okay. I'm kind of limited in the space I can
You got use. Nothing to give? You got nothing to complain about?
No, I'm feeling good today.
All right.
I'm feeling good. I'm just gonna let you guys, you know, get it out of your system.
How about the Packers?
Hey, there we go. Now he's ready. Here we go. Your Green Bay Packers, 23-10 victory over the Cleveland Browns. Offense plays three snaps. Starting offense plays three snaps. Although those three snaps resulted in a touchdown. But what were your biggest takeaways, Joshy? I know you were locked in. You were excited for the preseason game on Saturday afternoon. What was the biggest thing that you walked away from that game feeling about your Green Bay Packers?
I found it interesting that Josh Jacobs, one of the longer tenured veterans on the team, saw two immediate touches right out of the gate. Feels like a guy we want to protect, but as you mentioned in the pre-show meeting, maybe he just wants to take a couple hits, see some game action.
Chewy talks about all that all the time. The preseason, obviously different back in the 90s when he played.
Yeah.
But he just, if he did not have those couple of hits from other teams in game-like action, he just felt like he wasn't ready for the regular season.
The next biggest thing was obviously Dontavian Wicks immediately making a play on his first play, the third play of the game for the offense. Jordan Love hit him in stride on the deep ball, which is a thing we talked about endlessly throughout last season. And then the fact that three plays and done seems to be the matter of fact there for the Packers. They seem like the offense, first team offense, isn't going to see many snaps. So they got a touchdown and they said, we're done here. We're good here.
Is the only way to see Jordan Love at this point, if you're a Packers fan, to go to practice?
It seems like it. Hopefully those... And isn't one of the joint practices, aren't they actually traveling for one of them? Like, they're not going to be in Green Bay?
Correct. The next joint practice is going to be on the road. They have one coming up at Denver and then home here against the Ravens for preseason week three. They will have a joint practice. I don't know when the date of that practice is, but they're doing joint practices with both the Broncos and the Ravens.
Yeah.
And because of those joint practices, we are not going to be seeing Jordan Love in that number one offense against the Broncos next Sunday.
It feels like the playing in preseason for the first team, aside from the young guys who seem to that are going to be obviously playing a factor, mainly those guys are on the defense with Evan Williams
this
and Javon
year,
Bullard. It seems like they kind of just went through the motions. It was a get in, get out, let's not get hurt, and that's all we need to do. If that's what they think is going to be the best for them, I guess I can't really question it, but it all kind of felt like... You got excited about the touchdown, and then it was like, all right, here we go.
Yeah, why? If you're only going to play three plays.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, if they don't score the touchdown, I don't know if LaFleur sends them back out. I have no idea.
And I don't know if that question was asked of him.
Wait,
like, if it's a three and out.
Oh, yeah.
If it's a three and out, what do they do?
Yeah, he had just said, he was on the record saying, well, I told the offense if we went three plays touchdown, they would be done for the day.
Well, there it goes.
Sure enough.
I also was impressed with Grant DuBose.
So I think the wide receivers continue to be one of the more interesting things happening with the Green Bay Packers.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts with Dontayvion Wicks, who I still have questions about how much he is going to play, because you're not going to get a feel for that when the first team offense. Now, the fact that he didn't go back out there with like the second teams, I think
it's
says something
a good sign
about what the Packers think about him. But is he still clearly wide receiver four? Because he clearly was wide receiver four on family night, and I think that's something worth monitoring and hearing what people like Jason and Rob Domofsky have to say, who are up at practice each and every day. But the back part of the wide receivers are also wildly interesting. So I think the top four, we know those guys are safe.
Yep.
Dobbs, Watson, Reed, and Wicks.
Mm-hmm.
So how many do they keep after that? How many do they think they can keep? How many do they want to keep? Because the battle for that fifth wide receiver position with Bo Melton, who did not have a good game, Grant DuBose, who had a very good game,
mm-hmm.
and
Malik
Heath, who saw obviously time last year for the Packers. I think Samari Toure is,
yeah.
I think his time in Green Bay is going to be done. But I don't think you're going to be able to keep seven wide receivers on this roster, because you're probably going to have to keep three running backs.
Yeah.
Probably going to want to keep three tight ends. Like, it just becomes a roster crunch at some point. And you're not going to be able to keep all those guys at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, there is going to be a squeeze at that position. And I don't think at this point, Bo Melton isn't anybody you could put on a practice squad, nor do I really think you even really want him there with his level of explosiveness. I mean, last year he had the first 100-yard game for any Packers wide receiver.
Correct.
Which at the time, I remember on the post-game show, you guys were kind of like, man, we don't know what this guy is. He just kind of showed up. And then he showed up throughout the rest of the season in big ways. I think he's an asset for the team. Grant DuBose, they kept around for a reason. He didn't play last year at all. He's like big-bodied, as we all got to see on Saturday. And it looks like he can get open, which those are the type of guys you want. The Packers traditionally have used that fifth spot or guys to block, like Malik Heath.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, last year, Matt LaFleur sung Malik Heath's praises nonstop, and it feels like that's a guy we haven't heard about at all, that I kind of just imagined they'd back into the roster. He's going to play special teams, and he's going to kind of do the dirty work. But on the touchdown run for Emmanuel Wilson, Grant DuBose like shifted into the line and made a block there. And if that's something he's going to do, I guess maybe that makes Malik Heath expendable?
Try to keep him on the practice squad. And I think that could be something that they actually just try to figure out. Okay, which one of these guys, you mentioned the explosivity of Bo Melton and the way that Grant DuBose looked, like which one of these guys could we possibly get through waivers and keep on our practice squad?
Right.
Therefore, he can still be in our system.
Because Bo Melton wasn't a Packer to start his career.
Correct.
He was, I believe he was a UDFA, and then the Packers picked him up as just like a guy that was free. So much similar to that, I think if you put Bo Melton out there, he's probably going to get snapped up. Because how many guys on the waiver wire or that are like kind of those free signings are guys that had 100 yards last season in a game?
Well, and other than Christian Watson, he's probably the second fastest wide receiver they have. Not to say that he would be the Christian Watson replacement if Christian ends up missing games, but because of the explosiveness that he does possess, that is, turns out, NFL teams covet speed.
Yeah.
Who knew?
And what I think is...
Can I hit the breaking news sounder for that one?
If you want to.
What I thought
you can do whatever you want back there, Ashton. Yeah. You're the executive producer. You're in charge of this whole bleep show.
Yes.
What I thought was interesting, too, is it was literally three plays, and it's hard to make any decisions off of that. But the interesting part was Romeo Doubs played all three, and then they went into the 21, which is two tight ends, so one of the wide receivers came off, and that was Jaden Reed. And then Dontavian Wicks replaced Christian Watson, and Jaden Reed stayed on the field with Romeo Doubs. So Romeo Doubs played all three snaps. Dontavian Wicks got one play and beat Denzel Ward, who is like an all-pro cornerback at one point in his career. I don't know how good is he anymore. I'm not keeping up on Denzel Ward.
He's playing safety now.
Yeah, so he ran right past him. And it was one, if he's going to be the distant fourth like that, it would be interesting to see how many snaps that relates to in a full NFL game. Because if he's clearly the fourth option, is he just going, is it going to be the same thing as last year where he was limited in his snaps, but every time he was playing, it was like productive? Because that seems like you might have a guy there that needs more snaps.
Again, that's something I think that we need to keep on monitoring throughout. And I don't think we're going to see that in preseason games. Like the days of, and I heard so many different coaches talk about this throughout the course of this past week of, okay, well, we're going to play the starters a quarter. And then, you know, it used to be preseason game number three was the, you know, the dress rehearsal where you wanted, and Chewy has talked about this, just that feeling of resting the body, coming out after halftime, getting that first series to kind of get that lather going again. I mean, those days are gone, man. Like, I honestly don't think we're seeing the number one offense the rest of the way because they've got the joint practices. Like, the fact that they only played three snaps in this one, they're going to get the work in. Matt LaFleur has already said, yeah, we're going to get our work in for this Broncos game with the number ones through the joint practices. Why would you play your starters against the Ravens? Wouldn't you just do the same thing? Get the work in, get the work done that you want in the joint practices, more controlled atmosphere. I don't think we're going to be able to glean much information about who is going to be getting playing time from the wide receivers in these preseason games anymore. But I think we're done. We're done with for this year.
Yeah.
We're done. Now, that doesn't mean that these preseason games are meaningless. There's a lot of young players, especially, you know, some of these position battles, running back. What happens with Marshawn Lloyd? Is it a long-term injury, short-term injury? Is he going to get more snaps? Like, there's certainly more things to be discussed, I think, in these. But in terms of who's going to be out there the most for the Green Bay Packers on offense, I think those decisions have been made. Still some defensive ones that need to be made.
Yeah, on the defense, we might see an interesting thing happen here with the young safeties. Evan Williams, like, was one of the better players in the game all around. Javon Bullard seems locked into pretty much a starting position in some form, which leaves, like, Keyshawn Nixon in an interesting spot, a guy they paid. A reason they didn't really invest in the cornerback position. Remember everyone talking about Cooper DeJean, and, you know, we had to decide, are the Packers actually interested in that position, or do they feel good at the cornerback position? Well, now they got two guys that can kind of just play nickel, play safety. Evan Williams seems like a sure tackler, which for Packers fans who lived the Darnell Savage years, that's a welcome advance. That's a welcome thing to happen on that defense.
I do want to get into more of those safeties. Before we do, just some housekeeping that we have to get to. Again, no Jen, no Chewy today. Ben texting in, it's Monday and no Chewy. Is he hungover again? Maybe this was an actual planned day. Like,
yes,
we knew this wasn't a, my phone, you know, goes off at 5:05 and Chewy, you know, after blowing up the text line about the Sunday fun day he was having, isn't showing up. This was a planned off day for Chewy.
Can we talk about his shorts he was wearing at State Fair yesterday? Did you see that picture?
I mean, I was going to wait and discuss with him.
I feel like he should have a chance to defend himself a
because,
little bit.
Yes, because.
Just a little bit.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what, like, we can't share the picture without his permission.
Yeah, we gotta
like,
wait. It's a good long tease for tomorrow's show, though. I tell you, at 7:01 tomorrow, there'll be 100 people listening.
They're like brown camouflage. I don't even know how to describe them.
I'll deepen the tease. When I saw the picture, I responded with, those shorts look like an optical illusion. I've never seen a pair of shorts that they were like shiny, but also had like a three-dimensional element.
They were weird. They were really weird, right? So I've got questions. He probably doesn't have answers, but we're going to ask those questions.
See, that's why I was willing to talk about it, because he's just going to be like, I don't know, I bought them on Amazon. And then we're going to be like, well, why do they look like that? I don't know. This is what they look like.
Really good Chewy impression by you just now.
And also Chef Ed asking, what's up with Jen? She is working on college football stories, scheduled to return tomorrow here to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. She's been really busy getting ready. I mean, week zero for college football is going to be here before you know it. And she's going to be heading over to Ireland with the game day crew for the week zero game that's happening over there. So just getting a bunch of stories ready for college football season, because I mean, we're almost halfway through August. High school football starts here in Wisconsin. The games start a week from Friday. So football season is here. Packers preseason winners over the Cleveland Browns. But Josh and I were both impressed by the safety play. I know, it is 2024. Don't know the last time I said, hey, safeties, maybe a good thing for the Packers. We discussed that coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But you can tune in to the Analysis Show each and every week, presented by Gruber Law Offices. Vanessa Dedekumbo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversation. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, a chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any other one of TA's unique guests. Find the Analysis Show on Spotify, Apple, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to the Analysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. The Analysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I mean, this world is geared towards women.
Like, what do we
I
get?
Am stepping away from this. Goodbye.
Like, what do we get? They get a comb that dries your hair. We get a stupid razor. Hey, what's the coolest thing we get? They get the hair dryer.
Control.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Join our conversation, 800-990-3776. That is the ESPN Milwaukee Talk and Text line. What stood out most to you from the Packers' preseason victory over the Cleveland Browns? I think Joshy and I, again, once you get past the wide receivers, and there's only so much you can glean from these preseason games, because like the context of it all matters. Like, what is the other team running? What the other team, are they going to have their starters out there? For example, like, I wasn't really impressed with the Packers' defense in that opening drive against the Browns. Now, they eventually did get a sack from Lucas Van Ness. But before that, the Cleveland Browns were moving the ball quite effortlessly. However, the two young safeties that the Packers went out and drafted, in Evan Williams and Javon Bullard, they kind of give me some hope here, Joshy. Like, this has been a position that really since Nick Collins, we have been, as Packer fans, searching for a good safety. I mean, briefly, Charles Woodson played a little bit of safety toward the end of his time here, but I don't really count that.
I want to play a game before we even get any further.
Okay.
I want the fans to text us in the most random safety who played for the Packers that they can remember.
Okay, can I start?
I got MD Jennings on the tip of my tongue.
Atari Bigby.
Yeah, that's a good one. He laid some wood.
Oh, hey, that's NFC Defensive Player of the Month, December 2007. Atari Bigby.
He flew a little too close to the sun, couldn't really do much other than hit really hard.
And a lot of times he ended up taking on his own guys. Happened once or twice with Atari Bigby. But, I mean, it's been a position of need, and it's been bad. And then to go grab Xavier McKinney, and then to the point where the Packers seemingly, and Halfley and LaFleur, seemingly so high on these safeties that Keyshawn Nixon could be losing playing time.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, this is a position that, wait, we have so many safeties. Like, we have so many good safeties that we like. We might be trying to play three of them on the field. Like, I feel under Joe Barry, sometimes there were three safeties on the field, and you're going, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, who is that third guy?
Yeah. Like, what are we doing? This is, position stinks. Why are we trying to get more of them on the field?
Yeah, what I found interesting and kind of what I was thinking about as I was watching both of those guys was the Packers almost, we talk so much about how they love offensive linemen who can play multiple positions. It seems like they took that approach with the safety position, where they drafted guys who are true safeties and drafted them as safeties, but both Bullard and Williams were guys that the scouts were saying they can play in the slot. Like, they can play multiple positions. And that's the same thing that they said about Xavier McKinney. Like, he lines up deep, like, in the deep backfield. He can line up almost at, like, a safety position and at a linebacker position, excuse me. And then he can also play in that slot. And you saw all three of those guys where they kind of were Swiss Army knives for the Packers is the way they were approached, where Evan Williams was playing, like, true cornerback positions at times and was just coming up and making plays. Javon Bullard has been all over the field. I believe Evan Williams leads the Packers in training camp in, like, turnovers, and he forced a fumble.
Yeah, he's had, I think, like, four interceptions in training camp. And maybe it's because he was wearing 33.
Yeah.
But I saw, like, shades of Micah Hyde.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because Micah Hyde was that guy, and the Packers used him more as a corner when he was here. But then when he had his best years in Buffalo, he was being used as that hybrid position where you were kind of floating back and forth. By the way, a couple of safeties here already on the talk and text line, 800-990-3776. Greg says Charlie Peppra.
That was the next one I had.
That is Super Bowl starting safety, Charlie Peppra, to you, Greg. And Jeremy chiming in with Chuck Cecil, who I feel might be, I mean, again, I don't remember that much about Chuck Cecil. You want to talk about a guy who reputationally just hit a bunch of guys? I feel like Chuck Cecil's a little too good for this list. Like,
yes.
If we're renaming random safeties, to me, Chuck Cecil's too good.
He seems a little advanced on that level. Like, who even was the starting safeties last year opposite Darnell Savage? Anthony Johnson Jr. played some.
Yeah, Jonathan Owens played some.
That's the one I was forgetting.
Yeah. You know, again, like, Adrian Amos was, like, a solid safety. He wasn't special, but you knew he was going to be assignment, sure, and then the tackling became an issue as he got older.
As he slowed down.
Yeah, it was not great.
I think the interesting thing about the way the Packers defense is constructed right now is just how different you can have a nickel package, but you can have an assortment of defensive backs out there that kind of give the defense an unsure nature of what the offense, what they're looking at. There's going to be, like, a multiple nature to it. They're not going to know who's going to be bringing pressure, who's going to be in the box that is going to drop out, who's just going to be able to play that slot position. Those are all things, and it's almost like now the Packers went from, what are they doing at slot? They're kind of just throwing it. Like, Keyshawn Nixon ended up there not because he was particularly impressive earlier in his career. It's just because they needed somebody to do it.
Yeah, but then they liked him to the point where they paid him money to do so this offseason. I wonder if these hybrid safety positions end up kind of being the new wave, because we all know the NFL's a copycat league.
Yeah.
And I think of, it was Deion Buchanan was like that hybrid, like, safety linebacker that the Cardinals used. And everybody thought, oh, this is what you're going to do. You're going to be able to go small and you're going to be able to cut. Well, turns out it was too small to put somebody like that in the middle of your defense, and injuries started to happen. And especially with going to 17, potentially 18 games, I think being able to have...
I mean, Buda Baker was the same thing.
Buda Baker, yeah. I think being able to have maybe a more sizable guy playing in the slot might be able to help you play the run while also playing the pass. But again, these guys are hard to come by because Denzel Ward, who used to be a cornerback, now a safety, was run by Dontavian Wicks in this game as well. So it's interesting to see what the Packers are trying to accomplish defensively.
Yeah, and Jeff Hafley was a defensive backs coach in the NFL. We saw him just last week at training camp. He was in the, like, individual drills with the corners, kind of coaching them up. So that seems to be where the strength of this defense is going to come. And it makes sense. That's where he would be the most comfortable. That's where he would have the best idea of what type of players would fit the things he's trying to do on the back end of the defense. Because we've spent a lot of time all worrying about who's going to get the sacks, Rashawn Gary, all that. But if you have a strong secondary, that does give you a lot of options up front to kind of get a little more creative. Eric Stokes is seemingly going to be the guy opposite Jaire Alexander. And it seems like it's been a runaway, which makes me feel good that instead of the kicking battle we're having right now, where it's kind of two guys all the same, they're not really, nobody's really differentiating themselves. It seems like Eric Stokes just took the position and now it's his. So to have, you're looking at three spots and you have four guys you want to play there. I think that's a good thing, especially for rookies who are going to necessarily be better at different things than one another. So it gives you options. based on what the offense has given you and based on what you want to try and create. I think I'm excited about both those guys. Javon Bullard, I think, is like kind of being not talked about enough, even though he's been impressive all through camp as well. He just doesn't have the big plays.
Joshie also wants to play a game. Name a random Packers safety. 800-990-3776. Jared with Haha Clinton Dix. Fell hard after his rookie season. DJ in the Saw also wanting to add Charlie Peppra. Brandon. Jerron McMillan.
Oh, wow.
Jerron McMillan. Yeah. And then Ryan from Iguanago. Somebody who played last year for the Green Bay Packers that we also forgot about. Rudy Ford. Rudy Ford, who had like two interceptions a couple years ago against Dallas. And I went, oh, man, maybe we've got somebody here. And no, not really.
The Packers safety is almost like the name that first baseman for the Brewers, where it's been like journeymen or guys that came off the scrap heap that some of them performed. Eric Thames lit the world on fire for a season.
Oh, yeah.
Jesus Aguilar was like leading the NL in home runs for a season. It's kind of the same thing for the Packers safeties, except for I don't know if the Packers safeties have the highs that the first baseman for the Brewers did.
Jack says Bowju.
That's one I don't even remember.
You don't remember
Bowju? Yes, Bowju. Was a safety. I want to say from like 04 to like 07 maybe.
How would I spell that? I see it.
Yep.
B H A W O H.
Yeah.
J U E.
Yeah. Bowju.
No.
Drafted out of Penn State, he was a third-round pick. He played for the Packers from 2001 to 2004.
Oh, 01 to 04. I was a little off on the timeline.
He played also, he ended his career with the Florida Tuskers.
Oh, sweet. Sweet. Cool. what league are the Florida Tuskers in? Since you have his bio handy.
They're in the UFL. They're a UFL team. They played one season, 2009 to 2010, before becoming the Virginia Destroyers.
How are they doing?
I don't know.
I think they're done. I think they disbanded.
I think, the last time the Virginia Destroyers existed was 2012. Hey, they won the UFL championship in 2011.
Okay, we're too far deep now. Like, we're way too far. Okay, come on. Come on, Ashton.
They beat Las Vegas. I don't know who that team is.
Why are we answering this question? What are we doing answering
this
question?
He's got the info. I got to ask.
It's 3-1 regular season.
That's it? Four games?
Four games?
Four bleeping games?
Yeah. Yep.
A fake league. You kidding me? You're wasting my time, Joshie.
If you would have lined up, is it a real player or a fake player? I would have said fake player on that one.
On Bowju?
That's one I forgot.
Yeah. I definitely did not forget that again. Because outside of, Leroy Butler, really good.
One of the best.
Collins, really good. Outside of that, safety's been a position of not very good.
I do think it's interesting. The Packers have invested in positions that they traditionally sort of ignored. They did it at middle linebacker, and now they've done it at the safety position, which there seems to be a change there because the Packers, like other than A.J. Hawk, it was just kind of fill in the blank and try and find an older guy and try and find someone late in the draft. They've invested serious capital into positions they hadn't in the past.
They've invested in the safety position. When you've taken three safeties in the first round since 2014, you're investing in that position. Now,
yeah, I guess
the investments weren't necessarily good investments, but the investments were made.
Does Demaryius Randall technically count as a safety?
Yes, he most certainly does.
That's where, because like the Haha Clinton Dix one, that felt like he was kind of a first-round slide, and the Packers thought they got something there.
Yeah.
Who's the third one? First-round safety.
We've already mentioned his name today. You asked, who is starting next to this person? Was drafted as their second first-round pick in 2019. As the draft guy, the fact that you're whiffing from 5 years ago.
Get your ass off the UFL.
The Virginia Destroyers have taken over my
Darnell
brain.
Savage. Darnell Savage is the answer that we're looking for. MD Jennings, shout out to the Fail Mary, and that one coming from Earn. Blake saying Josh Jones, Mark Roman. A couple of random safeties, and
remember when Josh Jones demanded a trade, and everyone was like, "Okay, for what?"
Chris Banjo coming from
that's a good one. Chris Banjo
13-16. He was a safety for the Green Bay Packers. Palermo's Pizza is something that you need absolutely to have in your freezer at all times, especially now in the summer when you're going to be going out, you're doing stuff with the family, you're going to come home and be like, man, I just don't have time to make something that is, you know, good for dinner, but I still want something that tastes great. And that's where Palermo's comes in. Even if you have a picky family, one, you know, one maybe likes this type of pizza or this type of pizza. With Palermo's, you're going to find a slice that satisfies everyone's appetite. Because with Palermo's, we're not just talking about Palermo's. We're talking about Urban Pie, Connie's, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screamin' Sicilian. They've been doing this for over 60 years here in Wisconsin, so they know what to do when it comes to premium frozen pizza. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
My father would always say, and there's a rhyme and a reason to it, he said, if you wear your rubbers in the house, you'll go blind. Do the two youngsters on the show here even know what rubbers are? I'm talking the ones that go over the shoes.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Josh decided to play the game, name a random Packers safety. So continue to name your random Packers safety at 800-990-3776. Just a taste of what we have here on the talking text line. MD Jennings, he had a pick six in Detroit. That's right. The doctor made a house call. That from Roberts in the Falls. Jared, going back to Baujou, who is, again, a Packers safety. That is a real name of a person who played in the NFL from 2001 to 2004 with the Packers. When Jared used to play NFL head coach on the Xbox, they used Baujou as a, quote, NFL comparison for scouting rookies. I avoided those guys every time.
NFL head coach. I forgot about that game existing.
Oh, yeah.
Why wouldn't you just play Madden? What was the impetus for playing NFL head coach versus not?
Because you just wanted to call the plays, I guess. I don't know.
So did you literally not do any of the game action? You just...
I don't recall.
Now I'm going to have to deep dive on
but
NFL head
coach. But I think so. I think that's how that game works. Needless to say, I think there's only one iteration of that game.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark, not that Mark Murphy, but a different Mark Murphy. Playing a strong safety spot for the Green Bay Packers because Mark Murphy played in the NFL.
Had two.
Yes, so Mark, but it was in the 80s.
Yes.
So Mark Murphy was in the NFL, but he only played for Washington.
Yeah.
There was a different Mark Murphy who also played safety for the Green Bay Packers.
What's his stance on Aaron Rodgers or you know, Snow Hills? By the way, there have been multiple versions of that head coach game. Back-to-back years. There have been 2 years of that.
Really?
Game. Yeah. 08 and 09.
You would know.
I looked it up. No,
did
I've
you
never
play
played.
It? Yeah.
No,
clearly,
I haven't.
Clearly nerdy McNerderson over
all
there.
All the games I would enjoy playing, probably that one is up there. Like, could you imagine if they made a manager's game for baseball? I would run that game.
See, here's the thing. I loved playing, like, the Dynasty version, especially with NCAA 25 coming out, where you're, like, building the whole thing. You're making your own playbooks. You're recruiting players. But the benefit is you then play the games as
correct.
Well.
Yeah.
You get to do all that stuff, and then, you know, I get to do a sick juke move, and I get to pump my QB stats and make him a Heisman.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. That's the whole point.
Yeah. Presumably. Well, apparently not for NFL head coach.
I did say to Gabe in the break here, it's like, I can't believe what a hit is naming that random Packer safety. And Gabe smartly said, it's dudes naming dudes.
Yeah.
Dudes love to name dudes.
Like, how many times on Twitter have you seen trending, yes. like, name random 90s baseball player?
Yeah. And baseball is probably the best at it because there's some very funny names,
oh,
funny
yeah.
nicknames. But the Packer safeties is making a big run at it.
Yeah.
And is it the safety position as a whole? Or, like, if you were to think, is safety the best position for dudes naming dudes on the Packers, if you think back throughout history?
I mean, you could probably get some good running backs in there. I feel like that was a revolving door for
yeah.
a while, especially in the early Aaron Rodgers era.
You know what I think might be a good one, too, is tight ends.
Yeah, tight ends. That's been...
Oh, I got one. Mark Tamura.
Been a bleep show, but maybe that's, you know, put that in the back pocket.
Yeah,
I don't want to
we'll
like start naming random positions.
I was just trying because I think safety is the leader of the position groups where you're going to get and probably corner too just because there's so many of them on any
yeah.
given roster. Like Robert Rochelle was one of the highest graded Packers from the first preseason game, which is like a journeyman guy who's not really who knows what he's going to end up being. I think safety's a good one, though.
Yeah, more people saying Atari Bigby. Yes, that is yeah. one that I had a custom Atari Bigby jersey because I wish I still had it. Like Atari Bigby, when like I saw him, like we went up to training camp. had to have been, what, before 07. So I was still in college.
Yeah.
And, like, I saw his name on the roster. And all of a sudden, he just, like, ascends to the point where he's starting. I'm like, yeah, I'm all in on Atari Bigby.
Was that ironic, or did you think that was a player that is a foundational cornerstone Packers piece?
When he is just flying around. Again, it's 2007. Rid like, it, getting lit up it, is still a big it, part of
yes.
what, you know,
they were still doing
is.
You got jacked up at
yeah,
that point.
You got jacked up. Like, the big hits were still a big part of the NFL, so... You got a guy who's just flying around with reckless abandon, just lighting people up all over the place. I was all in.
YouTube has changed. It's become a lot of things. You can watch the show on YouTube like many people are right now. But YouTube is for Atari Bigby highlights and 100%. Watching highlight tapes of just random players throughout your childhood that you really enjoyed. I just turned it on, and I'm going to watch it here during this segment, kind of just catch flashes of Atari Bigby screaming down from the middle of the defense.
Again, he was, the year the Packers went to the NFC Championship game in 2007, he was the NFC Defensive Player of the Month in December. Big time. It's big time, Joshy.
That's one of those things that I didn't remember, but now when you mention it, it brought back to my
again,
memory.
Again, that's how big of an Atari Bigby fan I am, Josh. Like, I am never going to forget that he was Defensive Player of the Month in the NFC in December of 2007. That is ingrained in my brain. That is not going anywhere anytime soon. Anytime soon. People are loving the Atari Bigby. Mark Roman also getting some love now as a safety for the Green Bay Packers.
Sorry if I don't talk here. I got the Atari Bigby highlights going. He actually made more balls plays on the ball than I expected.
Oh, he had like 5 interceptions in 2007?
All I remember was the hits.
Yeah.
Obviously, because it's football and those are kind of the things that stick with you. But he was making some plays.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Probably an injury or two.
Was he just an issue to his teammates where he played with such reckless abandon it wasn't worth keeping him around for that?
I'm guessing, because he was playing with such reckless abandon, he also got injured a lot.
Yeah, that's probably.
So I think the injuries kind of slowed him down because he wasn't necessarily a guy that could afford to lose a step. And then when the injuries started to slow him
down, forced fumble
I think,
against the Seahawks, I just saw there. Laying in the wood, baby.
Yeah. Josh, he's lost. He's lost in the sauce. You can get lost in the sauce to relive the greatest postseason run in Bucks history with the Bucks in Six podcast. Bucks in Six presents a special series commemorating the Bucks title run in 2021. From the thrilling 7-game series against the Nets to the 50-piece from Giannis in the finals, immerse yourself in the sounds of each playoff round. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now at bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, or on Spotify, Apple, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white
find
stiff
someone else.
Earlier.
From one white stiff to another, I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
A couple more names that people just want to sprinkle in. I think we're starting to run out of names, though. Name a random Packers safety, 800-990-3776. Starting because, well, the Packers safeties, the two rookies that they have, plus Xavier McKinney starting to look good for the Packers. Alan Kohler saying Jarrett Bush, Micah Hyde. Josh and Hartland adding Aaron Rouse. There was a scouting report on him that you cannot, I don't even know if I should repeat it.
But I'd avoid it.
Yeah, but you can look it up if you'd like. The legitimate scouting report from him from like 2002, 2003. And then don't forget Mike Pryor coming from Matt G.
Chewy's guy.
Yeah, Mike Pryor commitments.
I'm looking at like the 2000 safeties depth chart right here, 2017. Morgan Burnett, Clinton Dix. Pretty good. They were
you
fine
then. I mean, Morgan Burnett was solid. Like, Morgan Burnett, after you get past Nick Collins, like, he was a solid member of the Packers for a while. Even had a couple of good years in Pittsburgh after.
Did Aaron Taylor get some play at the safety for the Packers? That's a name that seems to ring a bell in my head.
Aaron Taylor was a guard on the Super Bowl teams.
Maybe that's why I'm being incepted.
Yeah.
Because there apparently was a safety on the Packers 2017 team named Aaron Taylor.
That team didn't make the playoffs, right?
2017 did not make the playoffs, yeah. Correct.
Bryce Cantrell.
Maybe that says something.
I remember
it.
Bryce.
Rayshon Pringle.
Yeah. Pringle all the way. That's my nickname for him.
All right, well, speaking of Pringles and food, you boys, I mean, separately, but still went to State Fair this weekend. Any big takeaways from your state fair? Because I still famously have not been to the state fair.
You gotta go.
Never ever.
No, this is his thing. Because Gabe, Captain Stubborn, salute. Yeah. Just the worst person. Between you and me right now, Gabe, the worst.
If you guys would have invited me to the state fair, I would have gone.
You have two legs.
I'm just going to go to the state fair by myself? Like a
call
loser?
Call somebody. You got a million friends. I didn't go with Josh. We went on separate days.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you just kind of go. I used to not go. I used to be avowed against it. I'm not a huge crowds person unless I'm going to, like, a concert, a sporting venue, where I can kind of, you know, I have my spot. I know where I'm going. You deal with the crowd for a bit, it goes away. I've recently become, through not really choices of my own, a state fair person. I had a good time yesterday, though. You just grab a couple beers. It's not just your standard domestics. They have, like, micro brews. They have all sorts of things. And when you go with somebody who, like Mussolini, who has a plan, you kind of just tag along.
Of course, of course Mussolini has a plan.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, some of them better than others. Some of them more dangerous than others. We had a map with highlighted areas to go for all the Sporkies, which is the contest they do for like the special foods.
The foods,
this
yes.
is extremely relatable.
Yeah. So
wait, did your significant other also make a map and highlight it?
My future sister-in-law did. And we have a shared note between my fiance and her two little sisters who also live up here. Like, hey, these are all the foods we want to try at State Fair this year. And then it was, you need to go in and put your name next to the one you want to actually go and get. Otherwise, we're not stopping. They're like, what? I'm driving there. I can go wherever I want. That's not how it works.
That's interesting. Yours was a little more of a democracy than Mussolini's was.
I wouldn't say that. I wouldn't say it was. It was more
again.
Based on history, Josh, that's not surprising. My situation was like, it's more of vote if you want, but it's not really going to matter because we're doing what I say.
Yeah. Yeah.
Respectfully.
There's also been elections like that throughout history.
I did get water, though, so that's, you know, I got to eat
some
fried
foods. So you got Putin, I got Mussolini.
Wait, so you had to... I'm uncomfortable.
I think I win.
Shirt's
on, though.
I've derailed us.
Yeah, you think?
That's what he does.
Wait, so you had to sign up for something that you were going to stand in line for, Ashton, and then bring back to the group so everybody could try it?
Yeah, or we would all stand in line if all of us wanted to try it. I actually respected the system. But also, like, I did not allow me to do what I think Josh and I both want to do at the state fair, which is just walk around and people watch and grab some brewskis and some deep fried Oreos or what. I just want to walk around and hang out. I did not get that opportunity.
So I was granted the
had a good time, though.
The wonderful outcome of being able to try things and not have to wait in line. Well, the people who are really interested in the Sporkies waited in line. I found the local venues and I stopped. I watched like four or five different cover bands. I sat at bars. I had a cold beer in my hand the entire time. It was great. The experience there was wonderful. It was a little more crowded than I like. But once you get off and you find yourself a stool or a seat, who really cares what's going on around you? You got plenty of good people watching. Stalus's Finest were out in full force, especially for the last day.
I was about to say, it's the last day.
Yes, you got to get it in. Got to get it in. Saw multiple people who announced loudly that they had been to all 11 days, which...
Is that an accomplishment?
Yeah, I mean, you're not even hungover once.
11 days. There's not... I mean, there's a lot to do, but...
I mean,
11 days?
Even when Summerfest wasn't three weekends, you know, and it was just the 10 days, they always took the Monday off, you know? So at least if you were going to every day of Summerfest, you got a break in there.
The people working there aren't even there 11 days.
Correct. Like, 11 days in a row for the state fair seems like a lot.
How do you get used to that smell?
Also seems expensive.
Yeah. You got to know somebody with tickets.
That was coming up quick, but...
Well, yeah, clearly you know someone for tickets, but I'm just talking about the food in there. I'm guessing creations aren't exactly the cheapest thing that they're putting in.
Here's the secret.
I think
here's
you can
game.
Just get like a dog or something or a burger. You don't have to go. Like the Sporkies list is where some of the interesting stuff is.
Yeah.
I had the deep fried lemonade bites from Saz's. Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I understand why it won.
Absolutely fantastic.
Wait, so that was like the gold medal winner?
Yes.
So like it was, and this is a shout out to my fiance who this is, she described it as this 70 times. It's like a deep fried donut. With lemonade flavored curd on the inside.
Yes.
Like
custard.
It was great. It was fantastic, though.
I did try the hot ham and glazers.
Absolutely not. No.
I was not a big fan of that. The rest of the crowd loved it.
So that was like, what, a glazed donut as the bun for like a hot ham and cheese sandwich?
On each side. So it was two donuts ham and sucks. Then hot ham in the middle there. I also had the Cool Ranch Doritos pickle. I'm a pickle guy, so I enjoyed that as well.
You're a big picklehead?
A big picklehead. We had the elote corn bite. Also the pickle lemonade.
I'm not sorry. I miss you guys sometimes. Not a lot, though.
It really wasn't that funny. It just broke me for whatever reason.
Yeah, oh, I was going to say, pickle head, huh? To me, I was like, yeah, picklehead. What do you mean? Of course. I'm a good pickle. I think I never used to do the Sporky's things when I went to State Fair. I kind of just went and would get the typical, you know, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah, get something deep fried and call
you get
it
something
a day.
Deep fried. You get the corn, the roasted corn, and then you find yourself a dog or burger and you move on. But when you have a goal, it makes it actually fun. It's like
so
a game.
How many different things did you try yesterday?
I think we got around 8 to 10.
Okay,
there was a group of 6 of us, so we kind of all rotated through who bought what. And I mean, we were trying a bite of things at times. Like
yeah.
I tried a bite of the glazer, and I was like, yeah, that's not for me. Some things, you know, the cheese curd tacos also had those as well. Wonderful. It's just tacos with cheese curds as like the base. And then okay. They put like fixings on it. So you got like a buffalo chicken. You got a pizza, all sorts of different things.
Oh, I had s'mores ice cream. Forgot about that from the Expo Center.
I didn't
Center.
Do any ice cream. That was kind of a mistake.
Big yeah, ice cream.
I feel like you need some custard or ice cream at the fair.
Yeah, I mean, the dairy state, Josh. Yeah. Like, come on, step up.
It is.
I do. Out
so
of
when
all...
when you go, Ashton, are you looking for any inspirations that you may add to the food truck?
No. No, okay. I'm not. Because I respect so much the weird Sporky, like, things that come out, but you can't serve that regularly. You can't serve hot ham and glazers, like, every day. You can't serve... Well, maybe you could serve the lemonade donut bites. Those are pretty good. Maybe you could serve those. You know, it's also false advertising, if I may, for a minute here. We're going to get some classic Ashton here.
Uh-oh. Dear Lord.
They're not deep-fried lemonade.
Okay.
It's just not.
All right.
It's
you know
not.
What? Like, you
what
need to just move on.
What they should do is they should freeze it. And the other thing about all these Sporky things is the best thing that I had there, of all the different things that I tried similarly. Oh, tough one.
Here we go. One more time.
Just like Josh, it was like 8 to 10. The best thing I had was deep-fried peanut butter cups. Best thing. Keep it simple. Just take candy, put it in batter, deep fry it, give it to Ashton. Simple.
Are you done, old man? You done yelling at your cloud now? Can we move on?
This is newfangled creations.
I'm just saying, take an ice cube of lemonade and freeze
okay,
it.
All right, we're done here.
You have a deep fryer, right? Why don't you try this then, mister? It's so easy. Just
do this.
That's a good idea.
Can you imagine... A donut, if you're doing like a donut, you can't just deep fry lemonade. It's going to leak out.
Correct.
Well, it's not a donut. They don't say it's... Never mind.
They're called lemonade bites.
No, yeah. They say it's deep fried lemonade.
Jason Wilde had something interesting to say about Xavier McKinney yesterday on Sunday Karma. We react to that in 2 minutes. Jen Gabichuri.